Getting a hold's not for the faint of heart, is it? If y'all have your Bibles, turn to the book of James chapter 4 and verse 14. That's where we'll begin at. James chapter 4 and verse 14. All right, James chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? There is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Let's have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I stand here before you on trembling knees, looking to you for my help and my strength. I'm not able to do this, Father, on my own. I realize that I'm nothing. I'm a ball of dirt. And yet, God, you've given this work unto me to do. Father, I pray that you'll help me to do it rightly and correctly according to thy word. Father, fill me with thy spirit. Give me unction. Give me utterance. Lord, help me, Father, to preach in a plain way, easy to be understood. And set a watch at the door of my mouth, God, that I say nothing contrary to the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll let this message be a blessing, that you'll let it find good ground among these young folks here tonight, and that you'll use me to that end, God, that you be honored and glorified, not me. And that it be about you and not about me, Father. I'll thank you ahead of time for that, God, and I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Right at the face value of this, it's kind of an odd verse for, I guess, for a youth meeting. That's how I kind of looked at it when the Lord gave it to me. To be honest about it, I had another message in mind and another thought. But the Lord kind of changed that. And he does that sometimes. He does that sometimes. So it's kind of an odd verse, and because I've used this verse before. I've used it in the jail and places like that. But the verse seems to point just towards that end there, that time of vanishing. It seems to speak more of death than of life. And I know that I'm preaching primarily tonight to young folks, the youth here who really even had a chance to live yet. So it's kind of odd if you look at it in that context. But like every other verse in this blessed old black book here, this King James, when you get to digging a little bit deeper, there's a whole lot more light and truth in there than what you think. So we're going to look at this verse here right at the start, and I'm just trying to lay some groundwork on how this verse is relevant to what I want to preach tonight. If you look at this verse here, right off the start there in the first line, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow," that's talking about tomorrow, folks. It says you don't know. You ain't got no way of knowing what's tomorrow. So we can lay that aside right from the start right there. And then if you look at the end of the verse, it's talking about that your life, it's a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now that could mean the rapture. It's talking to saved people, and I'll show you that here in a minute. But that could mean the rapture, could mean your death. But either way, that's an appointed time. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this judgment, that we really don't have a whole lot of control over that either. So we can lay that aside tonight. And the part of the verse I want to look at for the message tonight's right there in the middle, and that is, "For what is your life?" What is your life? It's also kind of a side note here. I noticed this as I was studying. It's one of the riches of this King James AV 1611 Bible. You won't find this in these new corrupt Bibles, but if you'll notice, if there's 13 words in, or 30 words in this verse, and that 15th word is life, right there in the middle, folks. Right there in the middle. You won't find that in one of these corrupt Bibles. What is your life? And it's right there in the middle. Doctrinally, of course, we know that speaks to that middle man, that daysman that Job's talking about, that mediator between God and man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ right there in the middle of the thing. You can see that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." So you can kind of see that. That's just a little side note I've given you there. It doesn't really pertain to the message. I just think it's neat that you find things like that when you're studying this Bible, this King James Bible. You won't find that in the other ones, but Christ, who is our life. That's not the life I'm talking about there. That's pertaining to eternal life. The life that I want to preach on tonight, of course, is your physical life, your time spent here. Doctrinally, that eternal life that's talked about there, again, that pertains to the saved people here. If you're here tonight and you're lost, youth or not, I don't care if you're 8 to 80 here. If you're lost, you don't have a life. In fact, you're dead in trespasses and sins. So that doesn't pertain to you at all. You're dead. You're a walking dead person. So You don't have to stay up and watch The Walking Dead. If you want to see a zombie, you look in the mirror. Amen. That's you. You're a dead person walking right there. So I want to get that straight right here at the start. But what is your life? That's what we're going to try to look at. Practically speaking, that life right there in the middle, that points to the center of a person's life, I believe. In other words, what are you focused on? What are you dedicating your time to? What are your thoughts? What consumes you? What does your life consist of? All those things put together, to put it plainly, where is your heart at?
Amen.
Your heart's directly connected to what your life is. You can find that in the Bible as well. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 34, the Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So you see right there that connection between your heart and your life. That's what we want to look at here tonight. Where's your heart at? And what is your life? Now, again, that's what we're going to try to answer here, is what is your life, young folks? Now, I'm preaching, again, primarily to the youth here. This is a youth meeting, but I don't want to leave us old folks out either. There's some practical applications that apply to us as well, not trying to leave anybody out. But this message tonight is primarily to you young folks, okay? So we'll get started on that. What is your life? As I was studying for this message today, I think it's a wild thought, but I'm going to go with it. So I wanted to come up with a way that I could preach this message that would connect with you young folks. I mean, isn't that what a preacher is supposed to do? You're supposed to connect with your congregation. And, you know, so I thought about kids these days and how, you know, they're more concerned with electrification than they ever are sanctification. So it's all about them, these musical.lys and this Twitter and Snapple and all this stuff. I mean, I walked in on one of my daughters there, and she's sitting there doing her hair, and she's on whatever that is, and there's another girl watching her, and then there's 15 other people. I mean, the whole thing is just watching yourself, you see. It's all about them. They love that limelight. So I thought, well, how could I present this message that I want to preach in such a way that might hold their attention and appeal to them? So here's what I come up with. I thought, since today in this age that these reality TV shows are all the rage and it's all about them, I thought I might use this message tonight and preach it in such a way and to look at it through that perspective. What I'm saying is, young kids, is tonight, metaphorically and hypothetically speaking, you're going to get to be the star of your own reality TV show. You can call it A Day in the Life Of and put your name right in there. And as we go through comparing scriptures and looking at scripture, looking at scenarios that might apply to your life, it's up to you kids. You kids like to be in control anyways. That's what Disney teaches, that your mom and dad are idiots and you're really the one in control. So I'm giving that to you here tonight. I'm going to just give you scripture and I'm going to present things to you, and you get to apply what applies to you. Now, be honest about it. But you're in control. This is your show, okay? Everybody in agreement? All right, let's get started. Let's get started. Only difference in this reality TV show is, rather than all your friends and millions of unsaved people watching, God's going to be the audience. And the camera in the deal is going to be His book, okay?
Amen.
That's fair. I think that's fair. All right. Day in the life of you. Right from the start, when you try to preach about, you know, having a walk with the Lord or doing something for the Lord or living for the Lord, the first thing, you hear it all the time. In fact, I've used this excuse myself. Well, I don't have time, so I'm going to go ahead and get that right out of the way right now. Young people, old people, and everybody in between, everybody's given 24 hours in a day. I don't get no more time than you get, and you don't get no more time than I get. So let's not even start. Let's not even go there. I don't have time. Okay, everybody's busy, but we all got 24 hours, okay? So let's get that out of the way. Now, here we go. Day in the life of you. These reality shows, I guess, the logical place to start, if I was going to do this, and I am, would be in the morning when you first wake up. So that's where we're going to start at, all right? When you first wake up in the morning, when your eyes open in the morning, when your alarm clock goes off, or your mom and dad kicks the door open and turns on the light and says, "Get out of the bed." At that very moment, you begin your day. You get up and you get started about the things that pertain to your day. What's the first thought that comes into your mind? When you get up out of the bed and you're staggering into the living room, what's on your mind, young people? what's the first thing you reach for? Is it your cell phone that's right there on the nightstand, been charged all night and ready to go before you even get out of bed? Is that what you roll over and reach for so you can get on Snapple Snap or whatever that stuff is and see what's happening, what's going on, what's the hip thing? I don't know. Again, this is your show, not mine. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? Young ladies, when you get up in the morning, are you more concerned with what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on? Is all your time in the morning wasted on your hair and your makeup? I've got daughters, I'm allowed to say that. Think about this. It's all aimed and pointed at that outward man. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the outward man is going to perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What are you spending your time with? I mean, what is the very first thing? What is your thoughts in the morning as you're beginning a day? Do you not realize the waste, hell, and wilderness that we're having to deal with? I mean, it was bad enough when I was your age, but things have progressed to a point now. Well, I'm telling you, it really is a waste, hell, and wilderness. And yes, you wake up in the morning. Now, I'm not judging anybody. Again, you fill in the blanks, but I'm just saying, what's on your mind? Is it, is it breakfast? You want to feed that old flesh, not the spirit? I think Job said in Job chapter 4, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. I'm just giving you scriptures. Like the book of Proverbs, I'm giving you that polarization, the difference between the two. You got to fill in the blanks. Now, people, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fixing your hair, okay? Doing makeup. Believe me, ladies, the men appreciate it. There's nothing wrong with getting on your cell phone. There ain't nothing wrong with turning on the TV and getting the news. I'm not preaching against any of that. I'm not saying anything against that. I'm just simply putting forth the question to you, and you answer it. I'm not going to answer it for you. The question I'm asking you is during all this, at the start of your day, is God at all in any of your thoughts? Is he there? Or is he, pushed to the back of your mind, or worse yet, not even thought of at all?
Right.
See, I don't know. This is your show. You answer.
Amen.
You answer. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I'm going to say he's probably not in your thoughts. So I'm going to give you scripture for that. Proverbs 22 and verse 15, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is, the opposite of wisdom. So God says that kids, you're full of foolishness.
That's right.
Okay? It means you're a fool. You don't know anything.
Amen.
You don't know a thing. I bet somebody couldn't get me a drink of water, could they? Got dry mouth. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. God says you're full of foolishness. Now, the opposite of foolishness, of course, is wisdom. Wisdom, of course, speaks to the nature of God. Wisdom comes from that very center part of God. That's where it issues forth from. God's heart, if you will. So if your heart's full of foolishness and you need wisdom, then there ain't one place to get it, kids. So, and what better example than to go to God's Word and look at an example that God has recorded for you and me and everybody else on a man that had wisdom and was seeking that wisdom. So we'll look at David in that regard. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
That's what it says. Not after his heart, but after God's heart. Now, we'll look an example of him. We're going to see what David says about the morning and how he started his morning based on Scripture. And again, I'm not judging you. This is you. You compare these Scriptures and see what fits. This is what David did in the morning. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 2. David said, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and look up. That's according to what David did. Thank you, Brother Dave. I appreciate that. Do you do that? Again, kids, I'm giving you control of this. You fill in what applies. David said, in the morning will I direct my cry unto thee.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't say David didn't comb his hair and he didn't wash his face and all those. He did all those things. We know that. Again, I'm not preaching against that. But David made a point in his mornings. He made a point in his mornings. Are you listening to me, kids? He made a point. And he was king over the whole shebang. If there was ever a busy man, he was a busy man. Yet he made a point to pray in the morning. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Another verse of scripture, Psalm 88, verse 13. David said, in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. I like that verse. You say, prevent thee. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Lord God. He said, my prayer is going to prevent thee. You say, prevent thee from what? Prevent God from having to enter into judgment with you and him having to put his thumb on something. In other words, what that verse right there means, kids, is that if you pray in the morning, it might save you a whipping in the evening. Amen? Prayer. There it is. I ain't preaching nothing new to you. Anybody that ever hears me knows I harp on prayer and I harp on reading the Bible. You know why I do that? Because it works. It's worked for me. It's worked for everybody that I know.
Amen.
Why change it? You ain't going to hear nothing new. It's repetition. That's how I learn things, is through repetition. That's how you learn things. Hearing it over and over and over again.
Amen.
David had a prayer life and he prayed in the mornings. That's a simple thing. And don't sit there and tell me that you ain't got time. If you ain't got time, then you get up a little bit earlier. You don't stay up as late playing on your phone. You go to bed. Get you some rest. You pray in the morning. There it is. You judge. I can't judge for you. You apply what applies. So there's prayer. Now, Psalms 119. And since we're dealing with the heart here, it's Psalms 119 be a good book to kind of camp out in, because the word heart's mentioned. The heart's mentioned 15 times during that chapter there. It deals with the word of God and the heart a lot, that chapter. But Psalms 119 and verse 133, the Bible says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in your word. Now, remember, kids, we're in a reality show here, okay? You're still at home. You ain't went nowhere. You're still sitting there at home. We've already covered prayer. Here's another prayer for ordering your steps in the Word. Now, you've not went anywhere yet, but you're thinking about the day ahead, looking down the road. Psalms 119, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is a light, or a lamp under our feet, and a light under our path. It'll show you where you're at right here and where you're going down there. Order your steps. It speaks to your daily walk. It speaks to where your steps are going to take you throughout the day. Now, how can you order your steps, though, if you're not in the Word? How do you get in the Word? You got to read it, okay? You got to read. And again, you're going to say, ain't had time, don't have time. You got time.
Amen.
You got time. The Lord God caused your eyes to open this morning, amen, and he caused breath to be in your body.
Amen.
You got time because he gave you time.
Yeah.
Remember the last part of the text there. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time, vanisheth away. That's no respecter of persons. I don't know what your appointed time is, but the graveyard's full of young kids. You do well to remember that. Order your steps in his word. Let it be a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. Psalms 119 also tells us, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's all about prayer, reading, letting that word have free course with you, kids. It's a simple concept. It ain't nothing new. You're going to hear it preached by me and Ryan and Joey and Jack and Dilbert. You're going to get the same thing. We're going to keep beating on you because maybe you might get it after a while. Now, I know you're all hard-headed like me. I was. You have the same dirt we all are.
Amen.
Sooner or later, if we can keep beating it into your head, it might sink in.
Amen.
You might not be stupid and do stupid things like we did.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a prayer life. Pray in the morning before you leave the house. And get in the Word of God. Lay down the phone. Turn off the Wheeze or whatever. Turn that stuff off. If it ain't but for 5 minutes, and get alone somewhere and say, Father, thank you. Thank you for my mom and dad. Thank you for this home. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the breath in my body, the clothes on my back. That's why it's so wrong to be unthankful, kids. Because you get to thinking you deserve it or you earn it, you know.
Amen.
You ain't deserve nothing. Given these things as a gift of God.
Amen.
Be thankful for it. pray and read your Bible, kids. All right. All right. So there we are. We're at the start of the morning. We ain't even out the door yet. We may already be in a mess. It may be a long day. All right. So we've got up. We've got ourselves dressed and did all that. You may or may not have prayed. I don't know. Again, you're filling the answers in here. But we've made it out the door, okay? Now we're in a vehicle. We're traveling. Remember, this is hypothetically or metaphorically. We're in a reality show, and we're following you. We're with you. Made it out the door. We got our hairs in place. Everything's put on. We're in a vehicle. We're traveling down the road. Maybe going to school. Maybe to work. Some of you younger kids here got jobs. You're old enough to work. Maybe going shopping. Regardless, wherever you're heading, you're in the vehicle. You got your seat belts. You've took care of all that. But think about this, kid. What does 99.999% of people do when they're in a vehicle and you're traveling? Reach up and hit that radio. You'll be hard-pressed to find a vehicle traveling on a road anywhere that ain't got music playing in. Okay? I can hear that collective sigh. Oh, no, he's going to preach on music. Yeah, I am. I am. I am. I'm going to preach on it because in light of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes through hearing, we know the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and sin can also come through hearing. What it says is that your ears has a direct connection to your heart. And that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at your heart. That dictates what your life is. So yeah, I'm going to preach on music. I am. Now, again, I've said this before. Everybody knows me, knows I love music. I love music. But I've had to learn over the years. The right music has the right response to it, produces the right response. Wrong music will get you in a mess. Right. Now, so I'm going to preach on music, kids. I'm going to preach on music. Now, there's three types of music that's acceptable scripturally in the Bible. You can find these in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Those three types of music are psalms. Those are the psalms that are contained in your King James Bible. Those are the psalms that David put music to. The second one is hymns. You'll find that in our hymns book here. And the third one is spiritual songs. Now, if you don't have a little bit of discernment about you, and you ain't rooted and grounded, you ain't read your Bible, that last one will trip you up. Because the fact of the matter is, every song has a spirit. All music is spiritual. All music has a ministry. I mean, it's trying to promote something. It's ministering something. But if you take that verse right there, I think the Lord put that verse in there to trip up the charismatics. But anyways, I don't know. But if you're not rooted and grounded about that, and you just take that at face value, spiritual, that could mean any music. That's not how Paul meant it when the Holy Spirit led him to write that. So make no mistake. Get this again. All music is spiritual. Okay? And it all has a ministry. The trick to it, what requires discernment, is who's doing the song leading.
Amen.
Okay? Is it God the Holy Spirit, or is it Satan? Because he is a song leader. You read Ezekiel chapter 28, it'll tell you that. He's a living musical instrument.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's a good musician. He knows music.
Right.
The Bible says he's wiser than Daniel, so he's pretty good at music, okay? And we know he's an imitator. So I'm sure he likes that last word right there, spiritual. Because that'll trip you up and get you in a mess quicker than anything. Justifying what you're listening to because it's spiritual. I've had my own kids tell me, you know, I said, what are you listening to? Now, Daddy, there ain't no cuss words in it. Ain't none of that. It's all about love. It's nonsense and foolishness. It is. It is. I won't go there. I told Caitlin I wouldn't do that. Amen. Now, spiritual song. What's the Bible mean by spiritual songs? Well, here's how you can tell. It's pretty easy, really. Not that much to it. A spiritual song, biblically and scripturally, will line up with the Spirit, scripturally and biblically, okay? It'll line up with the fruits of the Spirit mentioned there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, the meekness, faith, temperance, all those fruits of the Spirit that line up with that.
Right.
A spiritual song that is acceptable biblically, it'll edify the body of Christ, it'll evangelize the sinner, and above all, it'll exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now that's what it'll do. It'll line up with the Holy Spirit's ministry is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Amen.
That's a spiritual song. Now, it will never, a spiritual song will never line up with the works of the flesh.
Right.
Never. Those works of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness,
amen,
idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, drunkenness, murders, and revelings.
Yes.
Those are the works of the flesh.
Amen.
A non-scriptural, wrong spiritual song will always point to one of those. It'll also, a scriptural spiritual song will line up with Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A spiritual, scriptural, biblical song will never feed the flesh. It will never glorify the flesh. Rather, it will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you base what you're listening against. Kids, all music spiritual. All music spiritual. But does it line up with that? See? And if it doesn't, you're listening to the wrong music.
Amen.
You're listening to the wrong music. Now, I don't care. You show me any artist out of any genre of music, worldly music, and I guarantee you, regardless of how they've arranged the words and all that other stuff, I guarantee you that at some point in time during that song, it'll play to the works of the flesh, it'll glorify the flesh, it'll glorify fornication, adultery, all those works of the flesh, it will glorify them, and that's what it'll point to, I guarantee it. You say, I don't believe that. I say, try it, I'll beat you every time with this book.
Amen.
That's what they point to. What are you listening to? It's foolishness. It'll make a fool out of you. I don't care about the rhythms and all that. Look, folks, music is universal. It doesn't even have to have words. Just the very rhythms that it uses can be anti-scriptural. I was at a red light. I got to tell this. I was at a red light in Jamestown working in my bucket truck, stopped at a red light, and I could hear them coming from half a mile. Pulled in the turn lane next to me, carload of teenage boys, about you all, age, I guess. They're all sitting in there, you know. Hats turned sideways.
Yeah.
Had all, I mean, they's cool, they hip now. They had the nose rings, tongue rings, eyeball rings, everything. And that's bad enough to have to look at. But I had to sit there, and that was the longest red light ever known on the face of the earth. I had to sit there and listen to boom, 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 boom. And I looked over at them when they're doing this. It's a fact. And I'm getting in the flesh here. But I'm going to tell you, you have to resist the urge so strongly to put my vehicle in park and to open my door and to drag them little fools out of there and just wear them out, just beat them one end of that car to the other, like Dad used to do me. You know, you go in a circle.
Amen.
They're not cool.
Yeah.
They're fools.
Amen.
They look like fools. They're traveling like fools.
Amen, brother.
And anybody thinks they are cool, you better check yourself.
Amen.
You better pay attention to who you're looking up to.
Amen.
Get the right kind of people to look up to.
Amen.
Because you don't look up to that. You don't look up to these sports figures, these actresses and actors, these singers, all these bunch of fools that get on TV and try to act like they know something when they're as dumb as the day is long. It's foolishness. You know, it makes me, I think, I don't know if Jack went through this in basic training or not, but our drill sergeants, when we'd mess up real bad, we had to, he'd call us out and we had to hold our gun up at high port like this, and you had to run around and around the formation when you were marching somewhere, and you had to say, I am a dummy. I am a dummy. I am a dummy. That's what I'd like for them to have to do. Before honor is humility, right?
Amen.
Not doing some good. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. Whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. So you're letting that in. And don't tell me it doesn't affect your heart, because it does affect your heart. What you listen to will affect your heart. You may think it's harmless. I've been taught that at home. It's harmless. No, it ain't harmless. Because it's sin. Do you get that? It's sin. There's no difference between that and any other sin listed here. So why would you think that it's okay? I'll tell you why you think it's okay. Because it's pleasurable. Yeah. Sin's pleasurable.
Yeah.
And you want to justify what you're doing.
Right.
Same reason you ain't going to listen to me tonight preaching. You ain't going to listen. I'm going to go in one ear and out the other. You might listen to something else, but you sure ain't going to listen to me where it concerns your music. You're going to go home tonight, it's going to be bump to bump to bump to bump to bump. Unless your mom and dad has all they can take and throws whatever it is that's playing out over the head. Which is probably what we ought to do. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. You're going to be different. You have a walk with the Lord. You're going to be fruitful and prosperous to God listening to that filth. You're not. Now, you can come to church like you are tonight, be on your best behavior. I mean, that's easy to do for all of us. We get dressed up, put our tie on, and we acting like somebody. That's a saying my grandma used to say, won't you straighten up and act like somebody. But you know what? That's a real general statement. Here's what we ought to tell ourselves. We ought to straighten up and act like the body, because that's what we are. Is that not right for the body of Christ? That's who we ought to act like. Not boom, 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 boom. Beat their brains out with that stuff. I tell you, I know. I'm in the flesh. I'm getting off course. But I tell you what, I'm not going. I'm over. I'm not. Better move on. It's foolishness. Got one more verse of scripture here to give you concerning music. And kids, I want you to write this down now, because this really puts music in its perspective. So you get ready to write this down. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 5. Go ahead and turn there. This is important verse. This is important verse. I want you to get a hold of this. In fact, instead of writing up all this nonsense and hanging up all these pictures of your idols in your room, won't you write this scripture down and tape it in your room so you can look up at it.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 5. The Bible says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the what? Song of fools.
Amen.
You know what that verse says right there? It says it's better to hear preaching. It's better to have some preacher screaming at you, proclaiming the words of God to you, than it is to listen to that foolishness you're listening to.
Right.
It puts preaching in the right perspective.
Right.
See, preaching has precedence over everything, even music.
Amen.
It's at the top.
Amen.
That one verse right there will keep you straight. The song of fools. Next time, you young men, when you're out traveling down the road, and somebody pulls up next to you, they won't have to listen to bumpty bumpty bump. They might rather listen to a song that'll minister to the person next to you who's got the window down, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, how they died for us. It'll do as good as the track now. It can. Music has a ministry. Take heed what you're listening to. What is your life? Well, it dictates in part what you're listening to. Amen. Amen. All right, I'll move on. I don't want to keep things too long. I know you're wanting some pizza. All right, so we've got up in the morning. Remember our little reality thing here. We've got up, got our clothes on, we've made out the door. We've traveled through the vehicle, listened to whatever music we're listening to. Now we finally got to where we were going, where we're going to spend the rest of the day. Got to our destination, as it were. So, there's no parents there. There's no pastor, no church, Sunday school teachers. Just you. It's just you. That's what you kids want, ain't it? Ain't that what you want? Total control? Be the captain of your own destiny? That's what kids want. It's all about you, isn't it? It is. You think the whole world revolves around you. I think mom and dad's a tax service. I think mom and dad's exist solely to support you. Wash your clothes. Do all these things. We're just servants. Am I far from the mark or not? I don't know.
Right on.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. You can answer that. But you've got where you wanted to get to. You're away from mom and dad, the confines of the house. You got to have nobody tell you nothing. You, the rest of the day, it's just up to you. You know, the Bible says a child left to itself brings its mother to shame. And you are children. Even you young men. You don't know nothing. I can say that of authority because I was one once. Though I thought I knew something, I didn't know anything. I was as dumb as a box of rocks. You don't know anything. But you're still in this position where it's just you. The decisions to be made throughout the day on what you say, where you go, and who you hang out with, it's all up to you. Ain't nobody there to tell you one way or the other. It's all up to you. What are you going to do? What is your life? Where's your heart at? That'll dictate what you do when those decisions are placed in front of you. And it will. Like I said, it's all up to you. This is your show. So what are you going to do? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. There's your two choices, young people. Wisdom or foolishness. It's only two choices you got. There ain't no middle ground. There's no middle ground. You either do something wise or you can do it foolish. If you do something wise, then you are wise. But if you make the wrong decision, you're a fool. Plain and simple. What category do you fall into? Are you wise or are you a fool? Again, what is your life? What's your life like up to this point in the message? Have you prayed? You got a prayer life or not? Listening to the right music or not? That dictates. I don't have to tell you. I can't tell you. The Word of God's always. I mean, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut right to the center of the thing if you'll let it. And if you answer yourself, which category are you? I don't know. You decide. Are you a fool or are you wise? Don't know. Now, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Get this now, kids. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Amen.
Destroyed doesn't necessarily... You ain't losing your salvation in that, okay? Destroyed doesn't mean completely... Destroyed, if you let the Bible define itself, could mean your witness. Witness, done. Your profitability to God, done. Based on what decision you make throughout the day when there ain't nobody there. See, that's where the rubber hits the road. You young people, that's where it hits the road. It ain't here in this church house. We all are on our best behavior here. It's out there.
Amen.
Your mom and dad are at work. Nobody's around. That's where character kicks in. That's where whether or not you're a wise son or a foolish one will kick in. That's where it'll show whether you've got a prayer life or not, whether you're in the book or not. It all comes down to that. That one point in time, the decisions you make, whether or not you're a fool, and a companion of fools, or whether you're a wise man because you've walked with wise men. Walking with wise men, that means you're paying attention to Brother Gilbert when he's preaching at you. You're paying attention to Brother Jack. Paying attention to Brother Ryan when he's preaching to you in junior church. You're paying attention to your Sunday school teachers. You're paying attention to your mother and your father who are begging with you, please do this and please do that. The kids, they do it. Everybody that does that because they don't want you to go down the roads they went down. They've been there. They've seen it. For most times, they've done it. They don't want that for you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you here tonight. Trying to help you. Because decisions that you make in this life, look, you get by with things or you think you do. The Bible says because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, it's fully set, the hearts of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because you think you get by with it. You ain't getting by with nothing.
Amen.
It's because your mom and dad don't know about it. Don't mean that you've gotten by with it. There's consequences. It carries weight with it. just... If you've spent your day so far, you don't have a prayer life, you're not listening to the right music, you're hanging out with the wrong people, you ain't reading your Bible, you're giving no thought to the things of God, I'm telling you, you're just a shipwreck waiting to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of, you're just treading water. I watched a show once on National Geographic. It's a pretty eye-opening show. About a lion, pride of lions, how they hunt. We know, according to, I believe it's 1 Peter, I think, where it likens Satan to a roaring lion. I may be wrong on that scripture reference, but I think that's where it's at. It likens him to a roaring lion, and I thought about that as I watched the show. I watched these lions, they circle this herd, this circle. Sometimes for hours. And while they're circling that, that one lion can look, he can pick out that whole herd, thousands of animals. He can pick out that one herd, the one that's weak, the one that's distracted. I mean, it's just like radar. Picks it out. He'll single that out, he'll separate it from the herd, and it's done for. Kids, that's what Satan will do to you. That's what said, don't think for a minute. Look, if you're a born-again child of God, you're a young person, you've got all that strength that comes, that vitality and that energy that comes with being youth, young and strong, ain't nothing Satan like more to get you tripped up and ruin you, ruin your witness, get you tore down.
Amen.
Like a roaring lion, he'll do that. He will do that. Get you to make the wrong decisions, the wrong choices, and then sit back and laugh. He will. It's a roaring lion. Now, that is 1 Peter, I think, chapter 5. Okay. Satan will use your peers. You can see that in Proverbs chapter 1. The Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now, the Lord's giving you something there that you can hang on to. God's saying, if the sinners entice you, don't consent. Don't give in to them. But your peers, your peers, unsaved kids that you go to school with, kids that may not be as far along in their walk as you, you're a target to them if you're trying to live right. Get a hold of this now. Don't think they ain't watching you. And because they might feel bad about where they're at, there's nothing better than they get you tripped up so you know what. Ain't no difference between me and them.
Right.
Ain't no difference. Satan will use the people around you, your peers. A lot of stuff I did as a young man. I did it. I assumed responsibility. But I probably wouldn't have thought about doing it if it hadn't been for the people I was running with.
Right.
Okay? That's the point I'm trying to make. Satan will use that. He'll use that. He'll use 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, for all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. He'll use all those against you to get you tripped up. If you ain't rooted and grounded, you're going to make the wrong decision. See, all these temptations, all these things that he uses, it all boils down to this, young people, it all boils down to this. You're going to be faced with a choice at some point in time. You're going to be given an option. The choice will be yours. You can either go this way or you can go that way. That's what it all boils down to. That's what temptation does. It places in front of you an option to go contrary to what God's told you to do. And it causes you to think, well, did God really mean what he said? Is this all right, or am I going to get away with this? But I want you to think about this. There'll be some decisions that you make in life that you cannot change. Once it's done, it's done. It's like pouring water out on the ground. You can pour it out, and you can dig to your hands are bloody raw, but you ain't going to get that water back. You squeeze the toothpaste out of a tube, you can't get it back in there. Once it's done, it's done. Perfect example of this is, of course, David, 2 Samuel chapter 11. We know the sin with Bathsheba. David had a record of being a man after God's own heart. Great captain of war, done a lot for the Lord. Was presented with an option. A spur of the moment decision that he made without thinking. And paid the consequences for the rest of his life. The The Lord forgave him. We know that. Psalms 51 is an excellent psalm for somebody that wants to get right with the Lord and fix things up. David said in that Psalm 51, my sin is ever before me. God forgave him of it, but he had to deal with it. It was always there because of one stupid decision that he couldn't take back. One little decision. I don't care if you're 8 years old, 20 years old. Just one little stupid moment, hearing the Word of God, not giving in to the Spirit trying to tell you, get away from that, turn away from it, run. Standing there like some big dumb ox. Can't take it back. Esau, Genesis chapter 25, same thing. Sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. Why? Because he was hungry. His flesh. It's a picture of giving in to the flesh. He wanted to fight this stuff. Fight it until the Lord comes back or you go into the ground. It's a constant fight. It's a constant battle. Don't let it wear you down. Don't give in to it. God's given us the Holy Spirit in His book. He got weapons. But Esau made a decision at the spur of the moment. You see what I'm trying to get you to see? That's how they come. They come out of the blue. They blindside you. You're not looking for it. And all of a sudden there it is presented in front of you. Young ladies, it's presented in front of you. That boy will tell you, I love you. I love you. I will marry you. He ain't going to marry you. Men are dogs, and young men are wolves. You remember that. They'll lie to you. They'll tell you anything in the world. You remember that. I'm not being crude or offensive in any way. I'm preaching the truth to you, and I'm trying to be a help to you. You young men, got a bunch of buddies that show up and say, come on, jump in with us. Let's go. Let's go. One behind the wheel is drunk as a skunk. You don't get in that vehicle. I don't care what them boys think of you. It makes no difference what they think. Because it might be a decision that you wish you could change. But when it's done, you can't. You can't change it. As much as you'd like to, there's things that you do that you just can't. Though you seek repentance carefully with tears, you can't undo it. You just can't undo it. Young people, take heed to that. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to be a help to you. Don't be stupid. And don't be foolish. Be wise. Amen. We know God will forgive you. I know that according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for that scripture. God forgives, but people very seldom do. People very seldom forget. Make wise decisions, kids. I'm about done. I'll get out of your way. But I hope that I've been a help to you. Take heed to this. Kids, have a prayer life, okay? Get practiced in praying. Get practiced in talking to the Lord. You say, I don't know how. You talk to Him. It's that simple. Stay in your Bible. Be careful who you hang out with, okay? I'm not saying don't be a witness to people. You can witness to somebody, but don't be partaker of their evil deeds. You separate yourself from that. Be an example, young people. You not realize that if the Lord tarries His coming, that you young people here are going to be where I'm at, and where Ryan's at, and where Dave's at, and where Jack's at. It'll be up to you. It's going to fall to you. The Bible says one generation tell another. That's going to fall on you. So begin your walk with the Lord now and maintain that walk with the Lord. Stay in the book. Prayer life. Take heed to your spirit. Guard your heart with all diligence. Take heed to what you listen to. Okay? Okay. I'll hush right there and get out of the way. I am thankful for the opportunity to preach. Hope it was, like I said, a blessing to you. I don't know, Jack, do we go ahead and just close in prayer? Or? Let's do that. Everybody.